Blog Talk Radio.
I watch your face while you are asleep. Arrested grace.
This is for you, Hayden.
I want to keep.
This is for everybody around the world. That's going to a lot. And there is only one God. The Lord's our light, all the pain at night. He shined through darkness. I pray for my people that's lost. That's why he was on the cross for our sins. This world's no more, so I not help the poor. Natural disaster, earthquake, Haiti, that's where my parents' birthplace is crazy. I'm still fighting with myself, holding on the truth. It's not good for your health. Time is running out, so keep strong. Even the road is long, so just keep faith. Love people that hate, don't look back. Family, friends, love them to the end. Here, grab my hand, and let's be a rock like the band. And jump up and be God's biggest fan. Let's go and follow him to the road that's no longer cold. God help us all, let's get up while we fall. Please answer when he calls. You gotta be honest, just listen to my voice. In this world, you gotta make the right choice. It's not about rich or fame. During hard times, you just switch up your game. My heart matches my body, my soul, my spirit. My people, can you feel it? Our God is the realest. Reaching for the stars, walk with me. Cause we gotta make it far. I've been places, I've seen faces. Very unhappy, now the devil trying to trap me. But my faith is power, so I'm scaring that coward. So I keep flowing like the shower, minute by minute, hour by hour. I become my dream, every day I become my king. Keep a lookout, cause it's coming like a thief in the night. Get ready, no more fight.
Christ and him crucified, and that's it. So
hello to the world. Hello to the people listening. Black, go ahead, take over. What's the topic for today, my bro?
Well, before we start with the topic, would you like, you wouldn't mind to go ahead and start with a prayer first?
Oh, of course. Sounds good. Let's do that. All right. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and who reigns, who is King of Heaven, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Father God, I come before you with humility. I come before you, Lord Jesus, low, contrite in spirit and broken in heart, Lord God. We come before you, and we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to please take control of our minds, take control of our thoughts, take control of our words, everything that comes out of our mouths right now. Let it be your Holy Spirit guiding us, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for bringing us back together with this radio show. This man right here, Joseph the Dreamer, has been my brother for the longest. We went to school together. We used to do crazy things together, go far away, chase music, chasing a dream. And now, Father God, you put us on a track for you where we're doing things for you. You put us on that will track, that track where your will is being done, Father God. I thank you for that. Thank you for bringing us back to the point where now we are seeking your face, Father, with one accordance, Father God. Bless this radio show. Let it grow ever more as each day goes by. Let more listeners come and listen, because the Holy Spirit, Father God, He is going to do His job. He's going to go out there and get people's hearts convicted, and they will turn their faces to you again, Lord Jesus. And we pray like this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who lives forever. Amen.
Amen, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Okay, the topic for today is pride and obedience. Pride and obedience on Faith is Power Radio.
Pride and disobedience.
Yeah, pride and disobedience. Thank you for that. Okay, pride and disobedience. Okay, there's a lot of pride and disobedience going on. What have pride? Why people have so much pride? Because they have pride in themselves on what they do. They don't actually focus on what God has for them, okay? When things come into play, basically like from knowledge, you know, what we were talking about yesterday, Gabriel, you know, and it just has a mind filled up, you know, that I could do this in my own. I don't really need the Lord, okay? And basically pride leads to disobedience. Okay, if you go to Proverbs 13:13.
Uh-huh. Okay. Everybody, please have your Bibles. Everybody who's listening, have your Bibles, you know, so that way we can follow. We want everybody to be able to open the Word of God and see that we're on point with what we're saying. And we're just young people doing this for God. We're not getting paid for this, by the way. I hope they know that. You know, we're doing this out of love. Our reward is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. I was about to say that. Glory to God.
All right, I'm on it. Proverbs 13:13.
Okay, Gabriel, go ahead and read it.
All right, it says, "Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded." Wow. Basically, it's black and white right there. It tells it to you. If you hate the word of God, guess what? It will turn around and destroy you. Not because God is a vengeful God, although he is, but not because that's the point. The point is the fact that by turning away from the word of God, you turn away from the only thing that can sustain you in this world. The word of God, it is the sustainer of human life. That's what it is. Jesus Christ is the word of God. He is the living word of God who became flesh. So if you turn away from the living word of God who became flesh, and this is in Proverbs, Christ Jesus, it didn't even come yet on earth during the times of King Solomon. This was written in Proverbs after David during the times of King Solomon, hundreds of years before Jesus. And it's saying it, that if you despise whoever you are, if you hate the word of God, in other words, if you hate Jesus Christ, basically, you despise God. By despising God, you cause a whole bunch of curses to be to come upon yourself. Disobedience brings cursing. When you disobey God, you automatically put yourself under a cloud of curse. If you disobey God, you may not think of it. You may think everything is all right. The curse may not affect you in the physical, but the curse may affect you in your spiritual life. I would rather a curse affect me in the physical than affect me in the spiritual life. Why? Because the spiritual life is forever. And if you disobey God, yes. And if you disobey God, and God forbid, you end up losing your life. When you stand before him one day, he's going to tell you he never knew you. And now you're going to have that eternal curse where you're burning in hell. And we're not afraid to talk about hell because it is a real place. It is
you need to talk about more about, you know, what's going on, you know, about hell, because it's not that we try to scare anybody or put fear, but it is the truth. You know, the truth, it is written. It's in the Word, okay? And hell is not meant for us. It's made for Satan's dominion.
Yes.
Okay? But, you know that Satan is jealous. He's really jealous of us. So he's going to do his best to deceive us and make it sound so sweet in our ears that, oh, you know, here, you know, do these things of this world. You know, I'll give you anything you need. Just like when Jesus was in the flesh, when Satan was telling Jesus, look, I'll give you anything you need. Just bow down to me. And you know, what Jesus said exactly, Gabriel?
Say that again, repeat it.
When Satan was whispering in Jesus' ears and saying, I'll give you anything in the world. Anything, just bow down to me.
When Jesus went to fast on the mountain after he was baptized, the enemy came to him, and he basically tried to sell out. He basically wanted Jesus to sell out his soul to him, like most of these celebrities are doing now. And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall serve the Lord your God and him alone." So it's like, Satan is the same trick that he's using. It's a trickery right now, and he's doing it more and more. It's a trickery of disobedience. Disobedience is getting out there more and more. You're realizing that there's more rebellious. It's like it's a rebellious spirit. It's a rebellious spirit that is being poured out, and it's not a good spirit. This spirit is not being poured out by God. This is a spirit being poured out by the forces of darkness. They're doing this. Children are becoming more disobedient to their parents, and that's a curse. That's a major curse. That's the reason why a lot of kids grow up and they end up in situations in their lives where they don't know why they're in this situation. Maybe it's because of the fact that as you were growing up, you didn't respect your parents or obeyed your parents. And the Bible says obey your parents, because by doing so, you will live longer on this earth. It is written in the Bible. So it's the same thing with anything else that happens, even with the authority. We're seeing more people who are being disobedient to the law. Police have to struggle with people nowadays to arrest them. They got to tase people down. Disobedience, you know? So now the main disobedience we're here talking about is the disobedience. It's the disobedience of all disobedience, disobeying God. And that is the ultimate one, because by doing so, you're destroying your own soul. We all have disobeyed God. We all have gotten to a point where he may tell us, hey, you know, go do that right there. Go talk to this person and tell them about me. And we're like, God, oh, man, we're inside of a store right now. Why would you want me to go talk to this person? Everybody's going to look at me crazy like I'm some Bible-thumping preacher, you know. And you start thinking all these thoughts, and what you're doing really is you're doubting God and you're disobeying him.
Amen.
One of the two things that God hates. Oh, yeah, he hates. And those are the two things he hates. One of the two things, two of the many things that he hates are disobedience and doubt. If you doubt God, it's like there's no pleasure in that, because the Bible says faith pleases God.
And oh, yeah. Without faith, you cannot please God without faith. You got to please God with faith, okay? And this people says they believers, but they're doing the opposite of believing.
Thank you for bringing that up. You know why I'm saying that? Let me tell you, my bro, not to cut you off, but I was reading. Let me see where it is. There we go, right there. In James 1, verse 22. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 22 right quick and listen to what it said about, and I'm glad you brought that up, man. Listen to what it said about what you just said. All right. James 1,
You there? You got it?
Still looking. You can go ahead. I'm going to find it.
All right. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead and still look for it. I'm going to go ahead and read it. James 1, verse 22. It said, but be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Because if you think you don't, and it said deceiving yourselves, be hearers, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. That's a lot that we can talk about. And in order for you to be doers of the word, guess what? You have to obey God, right? Because you don't have to obey for you to listen, but you have to obey for you to act.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for you to act on something, you have, if it's with God, God is telling you to do something, in order for you to act on it, you have to be faithful to God. In other words, you have to have faith in Him. Because if you don't have faith, you will doubt. And if you doubt, you will disobey. Because by doubting, you will disobey because you will have fear.
You exactly.
See, it all works hand in hand. It all works hand in hand. One leads to another. One leads to another. You know, that's why sometimes somebody may have a problem. Somebody may have, oh, wow. Listen, let me just say this. I'm watching TVN right now while we're doing the thing on air. And behind this lady on the kids' show, they have a picture of Jesus smiling, and he's holding the devil's horn.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen a picture of Jesus throwing the Baphomet sign. I don't know if anybody know what that is, but you want the hand sign, like they're throwing a horn in the hand sign, basically. They show something like that with Jesus doing that, okay?
That's what I'm watching right now. There's this lady, you know, she's doing it. But I think it's sign language, you know. We don't want to get carried away.
Yeah, we don't want to misinterpret it, but still, like, there's a lot of corruption going on.
There's a lot of things going on. And nowadays, God is pouring out more of a spirit of discernment. We are discerning. We have to discern which spirit is a true spirit of God and which one isn't, because they all come and they all act and look the same. They all say almost the same things until you ask them about Jesus, and then there's something different, you know. And it's like, all right, to be back on the topic, as you were saying earlier, you know, let us not just be people who are just like, you know, saying we believe in it, we're not really doing anything about it, we're not really walking the word. I mean, if somebody say they believe in God, God says, how can you say you believe in me and you love me and you don't do what I tell you? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? That's in Luke 6:46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. How can you call me Lord, but you don't do what I tell you? By not doing what God tells you, you're disobeying Him. And disobedience is a great sin. It is a major sin. And a lot of people are under the sin of disobedience nowadays. Because
may you read a scripture? So it's an example that, you know, Christians need to know also, you know, you have to walk by the word, okay, and not just, you know, say you're a Christian and you're doing the opposite, okay? It's written. It is written, okay? Chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 17.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get to it. All right. Go ahead.
Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
Thank you. So you know what it is now? Huh. It's like we're about to touch on a couple of toes, you know, because of the fact that at the end of the day, we have a lot of people, you know, who say that they believe in Jesus and they, you know, love Jesus and they love God, but then their lifestyle is not reflecting it at all, at all, at all. You know, and it's just, that's what this, what you just read right now is talking about. The people who, you know, the fruit of the tree will tell you what kind of tree it is, basically. And in other words, there's another proverb that Jesus gave, and I think it was in Matthew, where he said basically, salt water don't come out of a sweet water source. And also, a sweet water source, a salt water source can give sweet water. So in other words, whatever you're taking in is what you're going to be putting out. If you're taking in God, you will be putting out God. But if you're taking in the world, but then in your mind you're thinking that you love God, you're deceiving yourself, like James said. And we have a lot of people, Black, that's doing that. We have a lot of people that's actually doing that. I was one of them, to be honest with you. I was one of the people who wanted to make excuses for what I'm doing, and at the same time saying that I strongly believe in God and all that stuff, which I did, but it still didn't give me credit, because faith without works is dead.
Exactly.
You know, faith without works is dead. Because if you have the faith that, you remember, the Bible says faith comes from by what? Hearing the word of God. Not by doing the word of God, but hearing it. That's what brings you faith. So what brings your good works? What brings works in? Because faith and works walk hand to hand. That's, you know what it is? It's about fearing God and obeying God. If you have fear in God, you will obey him. If you obey God, you will have faith in him. Why? Because you will see how he works in your life. As each and every day goes by, you obeying God. Lord, I don't know why you want me to do this. I'm not going to question you, Father God. I'm going to trust you and obey you. Trust and obey. That's all God like. He asks.
Trust and obey.
Yes, that's what he asks.
You got to have that in your head. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Okay? It's not that, you know, the Lord wants to put us on lock or anything, whatever, but he loves us. He don't want us to get lost, okay? All right? Look, it actually is a jungle out here, okay? You will be devoured. These wolves actually looking to devour the sheep.
Oh, yeah.
And we are the sheep. We are the sheep, and they're looking to devour the sheep.
Guess what? They don't come to us looking like wolves, because obviously some of us would have ran. We would have seen these wolves coming. They come in looking just like sheep.
There you go.
In sheep clothing. They come with a whole stealth mode and looking just like us, acting just like us, like Christians, like true believers in Christ Jesus. But they're not. They're not really for him. Their heart don't belong to him. They are workers of the forces of darkness.
Workers of iniquity.
Mm-hmm. And the Bible warns us about those people, for us to be able to discern the spirits. Whenever spirits come to us, or something, an idea come in our mind that sounds like it may be godly, but then the outcome of it might not be too godly, we need to question that. We don't question the spirit of God, but any other spirit who dare come within our heads and try to go ahead and plant an idea or plant something, you know, that sounds like, okay, that could be fun, but when you think about it, it sounds like something that will not glorify God at the end of the day. Don't do it. Don't do it. We ought to be all about the glory of God, because God wants his glory, and he will get it. Whether we like it or not, he will get it. That's one thing. And if God is choosing us to go ahead and put out, to show out for him, we ought to be so honored. We ought to be so honored to be in a position like this. Because the greatest men in the history of humankind, in the history of men being on the face of earth, the greatest men of all time were the men who were mentioned in the Bible. Not the ones you hear in history books. Why? Because they obeyed God. The ones you hear in the Bible, they obeyed God. And look at it. Look what God did. He wrote a manual. And you know what I call the Bible? B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. That's what it is.
Repeat that again.
B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
Wow.
Why? Nobody's here to stay. We will all die. That's one thing. Nobody's here to stay. But while we are here, God knows he gave his son Jesus Christ on the cross for us so we can have life. He was raised on the third day so we can live forever with him. His blood was shed so we can be forgiven of our sins. He carried them down to the pits of hell where God's wrath was, and he threw them there. And the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west is as far as God sends away all our transgressions. He doesn't look at them. He doesn't remember them. He doesn't even think about them. That's the God I love.
Verse chapter 5, verse 16, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16.
All right, I'm on it. Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Thank you for that one, Glad. Can I read it? I want to read it.
Go ahead.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yes. It is by your good works. It is by the light that you shine. The light that you shine is the light of God, the light of Christ. Mm-hmm. To be more like Christ. That's what we ought to try to be more like Christ Jesus. Now, I'm hearing preachers preaching that we are little Christians. We are little Christs. I don't like that idea that we're little Christ because we're not Messiahs. If we were our own Messiahs, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the only one. He is the only one who could fit that position, and he was the only one who did. But there are a lot of preachers who are saying we are little Christ. Instead of saying that we ought to be more like Christ, they're saying that we ought to be Christ, which is a totally different thing. And people are not careful with what they say nowadays. Therefore, they deceive a lot of people. So we ought to be careful. We ought to test the spirits. If people are talking to us about the Bible and all that, we need to find out where they're getting their information from and what verse it is from. Basically, nobody's going to go ahead and climb over our guard, you know, our wall of guarding wall and try to take down what God is building in our lives by planting a seed of a doctrine of the devil, because these are doctrines of Satan. Remember last night we were talking about religious spirits.
Yes, religious spirits. There's a lot of religious spirits out there in every church. That's not even in the glory of God or the grace of God, or they're not even talking about the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus, they don't talk about the crucifixion, what took place on that mountain, on that hill on Golgotha. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about these things. They don't talk about hell and how hell is not a place for humans. It is a, you know what it is? Let me tell you. The fact that nowadays most leaders in the Christian life don't talk about God. Guess what? Don't talk about God's judgment and the wrath of God in hell. Guess what it does? It causes people to put in their minds, if these preachers are not bold enough to talk about it, it must be because they're afraid to say something. And if they're afraid to say something, then it must be because in hell is meant for everybody. If hell is not meant for human beings, why is it that I'll be scared to talk to human beings about it? If it's not meant for them, I ought to be so happy to tell them, no, do not go down that way, because that's not where you're supposed to go. Kind of like, we picture it like this. You know, I like to give examples so people can look at what we're saying on a more earthly level. That way they can understand. Because if we get so spiritual and go beyond the thoughts of people, then they may not understand. Think of it like this. Think of it, you're a bathroom. Think of it about like how they have those people who stand in between bathrooms, basically, and they give you towels and stuff like that when you come out. They give you those mint candies and stuff like that when you come out. You know, like the people who just, you know, they're like the servers at that in the bathroom. So if that person is standing, it sounds like we have 90 seconds left. So we're gonna go ahead and go ahead, Black. I'm passing it on to you. We have 90 seconds left.
Okay, well, what Gabriel is saying is just basically that, you know, hell is not made for everybody, but these preachers, they have a fear of, you know, people, you know, leaving a church, or basically like they feel like they're being touched by the preacher or whatnot, okay? So people want to feel comfortable. They want to be in that comfort zone. We still have a little bit of time left, Gabriel, even though, you know, we have like a couple of seconds, whatever. I think we still have like probably 5 or 10 more minutes, even though.
Okay.
All right. And basically, people want to be in that comfort zone when the preacher is just preaching and saying, oh, you know, this and that, you know. Yeah, of course. But at the same time, we have to let people know that there is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one way to heaven, that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, disobedience, pride and disobedience leads you to a route of darkness. And when you're in that route of darkness, the enemy takes over you, and you will be blind from what's going on.
Yeah.
All right? I don't want to get too spiritual. I'm just going to say the matrix, because there's a lot of things that's going on that's blinding people, all right, from devices, because it's in the Bible, evil devices will be cast. It's in the Bible in Matthew. And people not paying attention on what's going on. They paying attention on TV, technology, and other things like clubs or whatever. They're building new clubs again in downtown Miami on top of clubs. They're trying to make it a Las Vegas in Miami, a New York in Miami. Okay.
Right. And, because the devil's time is short, and he needs more people in hell with him. So therefore, he's trying to make the pleasurable, the world life, look more appealing to the human beings, to the world, to us, so that way we can get lost in it easier. Basically, he's trying to hit all aspects of life that he knows that we need to live by, social, economics, all these different things. He's hitting all these different sides, and he's putting himself, infiltrating himself in these things, so that way whenever we pick up something and we think it's godly, it really isn't. Nowadays, you can't pick up a book and read it without seeing something ungodly in it, or listen to a song without hearing something ungodly in it. You can't do that. You know, you can't do that. It's like even movies now, you can't go to the movies without seeing a movie where they're not doing or saying something that sounds like they're mocking or cursing God.
It becomes
something that people, that we need to be, like, concerned about, because there's a spirit of rebellion, you know, and there's a spirit of disobedience. And right now, what's going on, I really believe, is that there is a spirit that is attacking nothing but the church leaders. Like, this spirit is attacking church leaders, making church leaders weak, giving church leaders so much challenges to the point where they either lose their faith or they start doubting God like never before, you know. And it's like, by doing so, then if you have church leaders who are doubting, then guess what? The whole congregation, everybody in that congregation, is not going to, if the speaker, the person who God is supposed to be speaking through, is doubting God, then God is not going to be able to get through to the people who are supposed to be listening to the word. So therefore, then you have a broken church, and a broken church means that there is a devil in there. You know?
Right.
So it's about obedience. We need to obey God. God is calling us. You who is listening out there, you know, you don't know. God might be calling you to do something. You might be hearing that small idea, that small voice in your mind is telling you to do something. And it sounds like something that God would be pleased with, like do something good. It's something good, and he's telling you specifically what to do. He might say, you know, hey, you see this guy who's hanging by the gas station? He looks down and out, you know, and he's been asking change, and everybody's been ignoring him, and you pass by him. You know you have that extra change, and God said, go ahead and give him what you have. Even if it's your last, just trust him and do it, because God knows when he tells you to do something, it's because he knows what he has for you after that. He knows what he has. And trusting God is like this. When he says do it, you don't question him. Just do it. The moment he says do it, just do it. And he's going to take care of you. That's how God is. It's all about obedience. Imagine if David didn't obey God. He would have never been king of Israel.
Right.
And imagine if Saul didn't disobey God. He would have been king of Israel, because Saul was chosen by God to be king before David. Saul was the first king of Israel, but because he disobeyed God in one thing, one small thing, he disobeyed God. God said, I'm going to take you off the throne, and I'm going to put somebody lower than you on the throne. And God took a child by the name of David, who used to watch sheep in the desert, in the forest for his father. God took him and made him king of Israel at a very young age. Why? Because he obeyed the word of God. He obeyed God. You know, imagine that God said he's going around looking for a man, someone who can do his bidding, somebody that he can use, and he said he found not one. Send me, Lord. I'm here. You found me. You feel me? Obey. That's what it is. God will send you if you want to obey him. At the end of the day, obedience is the key. It's way more accepted by God than any sacrifice you can do. You can burn all types of offerings to God. You can do all types of stuff. But the moment you obey what God tells you and you do it, That's way better than any sacrifice you could put on an altar and burn for God.
You know what verse that always stays in my head and that's tatted on me, literally in my heart? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Yes.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Philippians 4:11. That's the verse that always stays tatted inside of me. Why? Because the thing is, you can't do nothing without Christ. Well, you can't do anything on your own strength. Only with Christ, with his strength, you can do all things. By believing that verse and by believing in the word, It gives you that power. It gives you that grace. It makes you move, okay? By having that word inside of you, the word is being watched over by the Lord above. And by you repeating the verse, if you choose a verse on the Bible, then you read that scripture over and over on top of your head. You know what that would do to you? Okay, that right there will give you that energy, that maximum energy, because that word, the word has been made since the beginning of time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When there's a problem and a trial comes in your way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That right there makes you don't want to give up at all. So by having that verse or any other verse you want to choose out, it's gonna have you to obey automatically.
Yes, that's true. Philippians 4:13. For everybody who wants to know where my brother Joseph got that verse.
Yeah, 4:13.
Chapter 4,
yeah. Man, I'm telling you.
Jesus. Will strengthen me. I'm looking at it right now. Oh man. Wow. This is beautiful. And you know what I was reading? And we're talking about obeying God, right? And in the same Philippians 2:13, guess what it says? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Woo. Basically, we sit in here, Joseph. We're talking about what we want to do for the name of God, for his glory, his will. But the Bible says no man has the capacity of strength within himself to say he's going to get up and do God's will by himself. It has to be God who puts it in your heart to do his will for him. That's what this verse is saying. It's basically saying it is God who works in us. Basically, it's God who put in us for us to do his will and to do his good pleasure.
Oh yeah.
Wow. So that means many are called but few are chosen. That means if you find yourself with that voice in your heart telling you to do God's will, trust me, it's because you are chosen. And if you're chosen by God and he's speaking to you, he's burdening in you. Basically, it's a burden. It's a burden. There's a preacher whom I love very much. When he passed away, I cried like my father passed away. I'm not gonna lie to you. I did. His name is Pastor David Wilkerson. He's the pastor of the Times Square Church in New York City. Man, when this man passed away, he died of a car accident. He died of a bad car accident. When he passed away, I heard the news. I didn't hear the news right around the same time. I heard it a couple months later, if I'm correct. Man, I cried like a baby. Because this man's preaching hits home. The Holy Spirit was really with this man. He was with him. And he wrote, before he died, he wrote a blog about how he didn't really say that he's going to go, but he the way he wrote it, and he was saying that it's his last. He's going to go. He's going to meet his father in heaven. And it happened after that. And David Wilkerson has this preaching that it's called A Call to Anguish. And people can go ahead and listen to it on YouTube. It's a sermon on YouTube. It's called Call to Anguish. Basically, what God does is he finds people like Nehemiah. He finds people like that. Nehemiah was a scribe from the Old Testament who God put in his heart to speak to the king. I believe it was King Nebuchadnezzar, if I'm correct. If I'm wrong, please correct me. I believe it was King Nebuchadnezzar that he spoke to, and God spoke to his heart
so that way they could rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah was nothing but a servant. He was a servant in the castle of that king. That's all he was. He was the guy who used to bring the king drinks. When the king said, I want a drink, Nehemiah was the guy who comes and brings the drink to the king. And that's the person God put in his heart to rebuild the temple and go back home to Jerusalem and rebuild it. And because of that, guess what? He obeyed God. And after he obeyed God, God touched the heart of the king. And the king gave him everything he needed to go rebuild the temple. They rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Made Jerusalem a secured city all over again. Why? Because one man decided he was going to obey the word of God. He didn't say, look at me, I'm just a servant. I'm a slave in the king's castle. What can I say? What can I say, Lord? No, he opened his mouth and said what God wanted him to say. And look what happened. He changed history after that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obeying God, once you obey him, he got you. God will not let you go do something in his name and let the devil harm you afterwards. Never do that. God is a faithful God, and he will not let anything harm us. God is a consuming fire. That means anything that tries to harm us will be consumed by the wrath of God. He loves his children. God loves us all. We are his children. We are. And he's gonna stand before us and take out any enemy who's trying to come against us. Any true believer out there, keep holding strong. God is with us. If he puts it in your heart, it's because he chose you.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to close this with a prayer. I would like to thank everybody for listening. Faith is Power Radio, Twitter, Facebook, Worldwide International Internet, Worldwide Web. We're going to continue doing this in God's will, maybe tomorrow, and the Lord willing, and do our best to continue giving the word. Pray for us. We'll pray for you. And stay in the word, walk in the word, not just only read the word, but meditate on the word day and night. Day and night. 24/7. If you can, try to do 24/7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can. I'm not saying you have to do it, but if you can, Lord willingly, trying to read the word 24/7. It's just like you watching TV. Why not read the word? Because the word is us. We are the word. Mm-hmm. So why not? Why not read the word? And you'll see a life change between you and God. You're going to see what's going to happen. That relationship is going to be built. And trust me, you're going to feel a lot of love. And a lot of things that's going to change in your life. You're going to see a lot of changes that's going to happen.
True.
Right?
That is true.
So, Gabriel, go ahead and close this with a prayer. Everybody just, have a blessed one and stay in the Word.
All right. And before I close it with a prayer, I just want to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, finally, my brethren, whatever things that are good, whatever things that are true, whatever things that are honest, whatever things that are just, whatever things that are pure, whatever things that are lovely, whatever things that are good, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, meditate on these things. Meditate on the word of God, because this verse just described the word of God. That's it. So let's keep ourselves faithful. No doubting, even if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, it's big enough to move a mountain into the water.
Amen. Amen. In the blood of Jesus.
Keep praying. Yes, sir, that's true. So let's go ahead and I'll close with the prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father God, for this session that we just had. And we pray that everybody who was listening caught something, Lord Jesus. And if they didn't catch anything at this time, I pray that they may tune in next time, because we have a part two of this Pride and Disobedience. And part two of it is called The Fear of God and Obedience. And we pray that the people will actually tune in next time and listen, because now we're about to give them the good side of what happens when you do have a fear for God and when you obey God. So, Father God, we thank you for allowing us to continue to do this, allowing this radio show that we're doing to still be on here. We don't know how.